I welcome everyone here tonight in the precious name of Jesus. I'd like to let you know that our month of January is the month of dedication for supernatural shift. Go ahead, give the Lord the praise. We shall be looking at things in that direction. What it will take, how to be dedicated and committed to God enough to shift our lives. Tonight, our text is Psalm 91. It's the first midweek service of the year. It's the first preservation service of the year. And I'm sure that it holds a lot of promise for us. Psalm 91, verse 14. He said, because he has set his law upon me, therefore will I deliver him. I will set him on high because he has known my name. He shall call upon me and I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him and honor him. With long life will I satisfy him and show him my salvation. You will not be cut short before your time. Look at verse 14 is the key. I'm sure that ushers will ensure that children are added. He has set his law upon me. Because, therefore, will I deliver him. The subject is preserved by love for God. Divine preservation, preserved by love for God. Because he has set his love upon me. Except he didn't set his love upon me. But because he set his love upon me, I deliver him. I set him on high. I will satisfy him with long life. Our objective tonight is to understand first God's love for man. And then to understand what it means to love God. And thirdly, to understand the benefits of loving God. And finally, we'll see one or two examples of people preserved by love for God. Understanding God's love for man, understanding what it means to love God, and majorly understanding the benefits of loving God. The scriptures made it abundantly clear that God does not just have love. God is love. Human beings may possess love as an attribute, But the whole of God is love. 1 John chapter 4, verse 8. Please pay careful attention. He that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is love. But this will be the most important point I want you to go home with tonight. The highest expression of God's love is towards man. There is nothing God loves like man. The highest expression of God's love is in the direction of man. Understanding that will build your faith that God loves you more than he loves anything. Nothing God likes or loves like man. Any proofs? Give you three of them. Number one. Proofs of God's love for man. First, God decided to share his nature with man, whom he made. He shared his nature. And God said, let us make man in our image, after our likeness. Genesis 1:26. And in verse 28, and God made man. Okay, verse 27. And God made man. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him. Male and female created he them. Nobody shares his most prized possession with anybody except one they love. The nature, what makes God God? His nature, his image, his likeness. He shared it with man out of love. Number two, God spared not his only son, but gave him up to die for the rescue of man. He spared not his only son, according to scripture, but gave him up to die for the rescue of man. In Romans chapter 8 verse 32, the Bible said, he that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? He spared not his son, his only son, but gave him for us. How shall he not with him give us other things? No wonder John chapter 3 verse 16 said, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. What is the meaning of that? If I did not, he who spared not his son, but gave him up for us, how will he not with the same son freely give us other things? He said, if I didn't keep back my son from you, but gave him because of you, there is nothing that is too big for me to release. That is, the highest I have was what I gave. Any other thing else you may need is below him. He also means, if I can allow my soul to die in order for you to be free, there is nobody that cannot die if that means your freedom. That is, if you belong to me as my own, if you are my child and I own you, and you belong to me, if I can allow my son Jesus to die so that you can be free from the clutches of Satan, there is no witch too demonic to die. Revelation is critical to manifestation. If you understand things like this, you move with audacity. You see, I killed my son to spare your life. And who is that tiny entity that is trying to toy with a life I spared through killing my son? Please understand that. Don't forget where we are coming from. There is nothing God loves like man. The greatest expression of the love of God is his love is towards man. Number third proof I wanted to give you. God loves his people exactly like he loves his son. His son, Jesus Christ. Scripture confirms. In John chapter 17 verse 23, he loves his people exactly the way he loves his son. He said, I in them. And thou in me, that they may be made perfect in one, and that the world may know that you have sent me, and you have loved them as you have loved me. Ponder over it. Jesus Christ said, God loves you like he loves him. Many times we read Bible, we don't understand. If we understand, we don't believe. The only begotten Son of God is telling you that his Father loves you like he loves him. And he said, love, past participle. He started since, not now. What does that mean? What is God saying? I feel the same way towards them like I feel towards you. Whatever I can do for you, Jesus, my son, I can do for them. Nobody is following here tonight. Is anybody following? I remember Jesus said, I and the Father are one. You know, when love comes to the point where the two people are one, it has graduated. I and the Father, we are one. John chapter 17, verse 21 to 22. That they may all be one as thou, Father, art in me and I in thee. That they also may be one in us. That the world may believe that thou hast sent me. And the glory which thou hast given me, I have given them that they may be one, even as we are one. Huh? You love me, so today we are one. And the same way you love me is the way you love them. We are one means what I cannot give you is what I can give myself. We are one means what I wish me is what I wish you. Is God speaking to anybody here at all? So that you don't allow any devil to mess your mind. Lift your right hand and say, God loves me. Say it like you mean it. God loves me. Say it like you mean it. Say, God loves me. Say, the devil is a liar. God does not hate me. God loves me like he loves his son. God is thinking about me. God wishes me well. Jeremiah chapter 29 verse 11, he says, I know the thoughts that I think towards you. Thoughts of peace. And not of evil, to give you an expected end. Now, let's take the journey a bit forward. The highest love of God is man. The problem is, the highest love of man most times is not God. That is where the challenge lies. That is where we have problem. The highest love of God is man. But the problem most times is that the highest love of most men, most people, is not God. And you know, it is a frustration. It is a frustration when you love somebody and they don't love you back. You will never be in such a position. I knew a young man who is not married till today. He's almost 50 now. The first person he wanted to marry, he loved, he did everything, refused to marry him. Married another person. This boy almost ran mad. He's almost mad now. He hasn't anything, he would date everything happening to him to that thing. And young lady, you know, when in your heart you are looking forward to a man, maybe he should be a possible husband, and suddenly he doesn't care for you. And God made us in his image. He feels like that. That he loves us. And we don't care for him. I'd like you to understand as you live here tonight that if the highest love of God is towards you and your highest love is not towards him, there is a challenge. There is a limit to which you can get results with God. He said, because he said, draw near to me as I am now drawn near to you. I have loved you. Respond to me. Reciprocate my love. And very, very quickly, you see, I mean, if you look at human beings today, what we love are plenty. There are those in love with entertainment. I mean, they can do anything, go to any extent for sports. In fact, there are churches that if there is a national match playing, or Arsenal is playing Chelsea, or Man U is playing this or that, they can't go to church. Their prayer life is interrupted for that time. There are those, it is movie, it is sports, it is maybe a worldly music. Some it is fashion, the pursuit of money. And everything is lawful according to Paul, but not all is expedient. Our major problem is that God loves us passionately, but we don't love him commensurately. Everything that God is trying to achieve by sending his son to die is to just make humanity to see reason. Love me back and let me show you what I can do. Love me back. Just give me love back. Show me that you are excited in my interest in your life, and let me show you what I can do. I've had relationships with people here and there that I wanted to see how much I could be of help. Remember a young man? I struggled to demonstrate Christ in practical reality to this guy. But he was unresponsive. In action, indeed, in everything, no response. At that time, and at this time, it causes me to feel how God feels. Somebody say, but I love God. Let me give you 5 proofs of what you really love. What are the proofs of what we love? What you love can be confirmed by the following. Number 1, what you talk about most of the time determines determines, defines what you really love, what you talk about most of the time. What dominates your communication, what dominates your vocabulary, is a confirmation of what is in your heart. Because the Bible said in Matthew chapter 12 verse 34, it said, out of the abundance of the heart, O generation of vipers, can ye being evil speak good things? For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. What you really love. If you go among those who love sports, they talk sports all the time, morning till night. If you go among those who are love politics, they are talking about political things, and this one did this, and this one said this, and I am going to gun for this election next time. If you go among young men who are looking for girls to pursue, they are talking about this girl and that girl, and if that is the content of their vocabulary. If you look, if you go among somebody who is passionate about vanity, he's talking about latest dress and latest shoe and latest hairstyle. What dominates your vocabulary is a confirmation of where your heart is. How do I know what I love? Number two, where and on what you spend the most of your time. Where and on what you spend the most of your time. People spend time with what they love. People spend time with whom they love. Where you spend the most of your time. Ezekiel gave us a prophetic parable in Ezekiel chapter 16 verse 8 when he talked about, he said, now when I passed by thee and looked upon thee, behold, thy time was the time of love. So I spread up my skirt upon thee and so on. Now the meaning of that is there is a connection between time and love. Where you direct your time is a determinant of where you have directed your love. When a young man gets into contact with a young lady for the sake of marriage, of course, I'm talking of a pure relationship now. They begin to spend time on the phone and spend time with each other. For several purposes. Maybe planning their future together, but most importantly, you love me, I love you, and I want to time. Those in love with alcohol, they sit for 6 hours at the beer parlor. They are just there. Even if they are drinking or not, that is their home. They are just there making new friends at the joint. Those in love with gambling, they spend a lot of time with the gambling machine. There are those in love, the social media is their house. They spend a lot of time there. How do you know? Where you direct your time is a determinant of where you have directed your love. Number three, what is the proof of what we love? What consumes the bulk of your resources? What you spend your money on is a determinant. The bulk of your resources is a determinant of what you really love. If the bulk of your money is on clothes, no matter how much you claim to love God, that is what you really love. The bulk of your money is on toys. One new car after another, after another, after another, endlessly. That is where your love is, on alcohol. I have seen people who can sell a whole house for cocaine, to smoke cocaine. Apart from the fact that they are tied down by that addiction, that is where their love is. There are those who will never send money to their old mother in the village. Old father in the village, sisters are suffering, but a girlfriend has emptied his life. One girlfriend pocketed his destiny. He gave that girl money in 6 zeros. His mother asked for 60,000 and said, what do you want to do with it in the village? You don't know what you love until you can confirm what you spend the most of your money on. Heaven knows, earth knows, my wife knows, our church office knows. that the major bulk of this man's money is kingdom. There are churches being constructed now from our pockets. There are orphans and widows. I mean, it's just endless. I gave a check to the church last December, a check in about seven or how many zeros. And after I've given so many sacrifices here and there, and I told them, give me a few more days. Let the account be charged up so the check can clear. It was charged up within a few days, and it was cleared. What is it that takes the bulk of your resources? It's a confirmation. Because the Bible said in Matthew chapter 6 verse 21, where your heart is, that is where your treasure is. Anywhere your heart is, your money goes there. Your money goes in the direction of your heart. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be. Where your heart is, there your treasure goes. How do you know what you love? Number four, what occupies your thought most of the time is a confirmation of what you love. What occupies your heart most of the time? Lovers of God think about God, think about generational impact, think about how to make a mark that cannot be erased and make impact for the kingdom. And so on. What occupies your heart, he said, as he thinketh in his heart. Proverbs chapter 23 verse 7. So is he, as he thinketh in his heart. A man's thought is a definition of who he is, no matter what he says. And Songs of Solomon chapter 8 verse 6 says, set me as a seal upon your heart, as a seal upon your arm, for love is strong as death. So what is set on your heart is connected to the love you have. Love is strong. Set me as a seal. What is it that occupies your heart most of the time? It's what you really love. And finally, what and who you are ready to sacrifice for is a determinant of what you really love. Who and what you are ready to sacrifice for. And when I mean sacrifice, who and whatever you are ready to inconvenience yourself for. God so loved the world, he sacrificed his son. John chapter 3 verse 16. It is said that the house of your friend is of your friend is never too far. If you really love a person, you can go to any extent for their sake. You sacrifice anything. What are friends for? What are friends for? At times, I don't know what I will do, and my wife will tell me, "Thank you, sir." I said, "What are husbands for?" She will burst out laughing. What are friends for? It's a determinant. What are you going to inconvenience yourself for the sake of God? Having said all I have said, I am sure that it is getting clear to people what they really love. Don't say, I spend 8 hours at work, but I pray for only 1 hour. Does it mean I should stop working so I can pray for 8 hours? No. Let that work be part of your ministry. Let that work be part of your assignment for God. When you are in the line of duty, the time you spend to do the duty that is expected of you is part of your godly commitment. Going to work on time and leaving work when you are meant to leave work and doing what you are meant to do at work is part of your spirituality. Are you hearing what I'm saying here? And representing God well in that office, representing him in character, representing him in dignity, representing him as in excellence and producing quality there, is part of your Christian duty. But every other thing, you are at home now, but you are in front of the television for 7 hours, and you just mutter 5 minutes prayer to go to bed, and you wake up, and you realize it's time to go to work, and you are rushing to the bathroom, and praying in tongues along the line, Lord, you understand, please, today. But you had the time for 7 hours to watch a television movie that didn't add anything to your life, that gave you subtle negative suggestions in your spirit, gave you fixed deposits of negativity. That's injustice to your life. Having said all that, let me give us some scriptural criteria of love for God. What I just said now is general. But as a child of God, what are the proofs of your love for God? If you love God, what will you do? Number one, if you love God, number one, you will love His word. You will love His word. John chapter 14, verse 15. He said, if you love me, you will keep my commandment. That is, you are in touch with my word. John chapter 15, also verse 9 to 10. John 15, 9 to 10. As the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Continue ye in my love. If you keep my commandments, you shall abide in my love. Even as I have kept my Father's commandment and abide in his love. Then John chapter 14 verse 23. 14:23, he said, Jesus answered and said unto him, if any man love me, he will keep my words. We could stop there. If you love me. So if you love God, you love his word. You love to listen to the Bible on audio tape. You love to open the scripture. You love to read books and things related to scripture. Whatever is talking about God, you love his word. Every time love for the word of God is disappearing from your heart, it is love for God that is disappearing. If you love a person, you want to hear their voice. When you see a man telling his wife, shut up, don't talk to me like that, it means that love is dying. Remember the man and his wife who don't want to talk to each other and they are writing note to each other. Where is the food? Your food is on the table. They are replying to each other. If you love God, you will love his word. Number two, if you love God, you will obey his word. You will obey. You will comply. Not just loving to read it, but You will obey it. You don't negotiate instructions. You are not among the generation of people arguing with God. Oh, we should live as we are. The Bible says we can live anyhow. You should do this or that. No. We already saw scriptures in John chapter 14, verse 15. If you love me, you will keep. Keep means you will obey, follow my commandments. John 15:9 to 10, also verse 10 in particular, also gives us, if you keep my commandment, you shall abide in my love. And then, of course, John chapter 14, verse 23, where we read, if you love me, you will keep my words. You will keep my word. Now, Deuteronomy chapter 30, verse 20. Deuteronomy chapter 30 and in verse 20, he said that thou mayest love the Lord your God and that you may obey his voice. If you love the Lord your God, you will obey his voice. Exodus chapter 20 verse 5 to 6. Exodus 25 to 6, thou shalt not bow down thyself to them, nor serve them, for I am the Lord thy God, I'm a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children unto the third and fourth generation of them that hate me, and showing mercy unto thousands of them that love me and keep my commandments. Those who love me keep my commandments. They are not rebels. They are not spiritual rascals. When you see a person behaving rascally as a Christian, has no respect for the word of God, no respect for instructions from the altar, love of God disappeared. If you love God, you will obey his word. If you love God, you will love his word. If you love God, you will obey his word. Number three, if you love God, you will love his person and presence. You will love his person. You will love his company. You want to spend time with God.
That is what turns people into prayer warriors, into intercessors. That it just makes you to drink prayer like water. You want to spend time with God. In Genesis 19:27, the Bible was telling us about Abraham, how he went up early in the morning to stand before God. Psalm 42 verse 1 to 2, the psalmist was expressing his love for God. He said, as the heart pants after the water brook, so panteth my soul after you, O God. You want to spend time with God. There are times I have prayed for 1 hour, 2 hours, 3 hours, 4 hours, 5 hours, 6 hours, 7 hours. And yet, I am still longing for more. There is something inside me that makes me thirsty. Many years ago, I asked God. Because I seem to be permanently hungry. And, that's years ago. But then sometime I asked him, I said, Lord, I am so hungry for you. Just show me your fullness. I want to know more of you. Show me your fullness. He said, I reveal myself to you in faces in order to keep you hungry. That is, I won't come out and say, see everything about me. I want to keep you in some suspense. There is something about me you don't know yet, so keep pursuing. I said, if that is the reason, Lord, I'm okay. Because I don't want to arrive at any point where I have arrived. I have known everything I need to know, so no need for prayer. God forbid. I have known everything I need to know, so no need to study the Bible. God forbid. You know, there are people who think they know God. And anybody who thinks he knows God is confirming to you his ignorance of God. Because the closer you get to God, the more you come to the realization that there is something about God you don't know yet. That was why Paul the apostle, after 33 years of ministry, said that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his suffering be made conformable unto death. After 33 years of ministry, Paul the apostle was saying, please take your seat. There is something about God I don't know yet. If you love God, you love his company. Even if you are driving, even if you are running, whatever you do, you are breathing prayer. Paul calls it praying without ceasing. Hallelujah. Thank you, Master. Thank you, El Shaddai. I'm in love with you. You are an unbroken communion. Everything is prayer, and prayer is everything. Am I communicating at all? Everywhere becomes closet. You will love his presence. His person is presence. Number four, if you love God, you will love his house. I was glad when they say, let us go to the house of the Lord. Psalm 122. Verse 1 to 2. I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. You will love his house. Don't let civilization destroy your spirituality. I can watch service on iPad. I can watch service on iPhone. I can watch service on this. There is nothing like that except where you don't have access to be physically there. I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. They go from strength to strength. Everyone in Zion appeared before the Lord. Not seated at home and said, let me watch it at home. Some of the things that have destroyed some people's Christianity, especially in the Western world, American side, and some of those sides, what was meant to be beneficial. Oh, there's Christian television. My popular preacher is on the screen. My popular this on the screen. No way. That raw temple, that raw church, that assembly is proof. I was glad when they said, let us go into the house of the Lord. Psalm 84, verse 1 to 3. Psalm 84, verse 1 to 3. He said, how amiable are thy tabernacles, O Lord of hosts. My soul longeth yea, even fainteth for the courts of the Lord. My heart and my flesh crieth out for the living God. I long to be in church. I long to be in the presence of God. I long to be in the house of God. I long. Hallelujah. Very, very, every time somebody's spirituality begins to take them out of church, they are quarter to destruction. If you love God, you will love his house. And if you have a friend, and he's really your friend, his house is never too far from you. You will find transport to your friend's house. You will find kekenape or legedis Ben's leg. You find, if it's your friend, you find your way there. Number five. Is that number five? If you love God, you will love his children. Every genuine lover of God is a lover of God's people. Anytime you see anybody claiming to be a Christian and he is in bitterness with everybody, he doesn't know God, doesn't love God. 1 John chapter 3, verse 16 to 17. Hereby perceive we the love of God, because he laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for the brethren, if we love God. But whoso has this world's goods, he has resources, and seeth his brother in need, and shutteth up his bowels of compassion from him, how dwelleth the love of God in such a person? My little children, let us not love in word. I love you, I love you, I love you. Neither in tongue, but in deed, in practice, and in truth. Are you following scripture here at all? You know everything is inside the Bible. Look at 1 John chapter 4, verse 7 to 8. Is anybody getting anything here tonight? 1 John chapter 4, verse 7 to 8. Beloved, let us love one another. For love is of God. And everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God. Verse 8. He that loveth not knoweth not God. He doesn't know God. For God is love. Look, jump to verse 12. No man has seen God at any time. If we love one another, God dwelleth in us, and his love is perfected in us. If you love people. And verse 20. If any man say, I love God, and hateth his brother, he is a liar. For he that loveth not his brother, whom he has seen, how can he love God that he has not seen? I want you to let's look at the Living Bible and see the Message Bible, the Living Bible version, and then the Message Bible if it is possible. Somebody you haven't seen you. If anyone says, I love God, but keeps on hating his brother, he is a liar. For if he doesn't love his brother, who is right there in front of him? How can he love God whom he has never seen? Do you have the Message Bible? If anyone boasts, I love God, and goes right on hating his brother or sister, thinking nothing of it, he is a liar. If he won't love the person he can see, how can he love the God he can't see? Very clear. Can't love your wife, and you are a big man in church. You can't love your husband, and you are very committed in house fellowship. You don't love your children. You are coming, your children are diving. The lion of the tribe of the family has arrived. Everybody is taking cover. He has come. What a man. What a useless man. The way you see us dance and jump here, it started from the house. Because you can't shift gear automatically. It's not possible to shift gear and say, let's do drama now. You measure your love for God with your love for man. Just ask yourself this question. The people around my life today, what is my heart for them? What is my passion for them? What is my feeling for them? It's a confirmation of how much you love God. Every genuine spiritual person has a heart that is filled. There are people who are sharing things with me. The only reason why I don't cry with some people in the office, that is in counseling, the only reason is that if I dare shed tears, say, Kai, my problem has passed. This one that the pastor is crying means no solution. No solution. No solution. That is, the problem is bad. At times, I shed tears for some testimonies here, for some people's situation. Whenever you go close, anybody you go close to infect you with their character. If you go close to God, He will press into your heart how He feels for people. You don't even need to act. Just hang around Him for a while. Suddenly, was that number six? If you love God, you will love His children. Number six, if you love God, you will love His work. If you love God, you will love running His errands. You will love to be at work for Him. You want to do it. You will give yourself work if there was no work to do in church. Deuteronomy chapter 10 and in verse 12. And now, Israel, what does the Lord require, God require of you but to fear the Lord your God, to walk in all His ways, to love Him, and to serve. Anywhere there is love, there is service. Because service is a love language. Anywhere there is love, there is service. You want to do something to make the person you love know that you are there. Deuteronomy chapter 11, verse 13 to 14. He said, and it shall come to pass, if you shall hearken diligently unto my commandments which I command you this day, to love the Lord your God and to serve. Serve Him with your heart. You love Him, you will serve Him. You will run errands. You will go out on soul winning. Whatever will touch His heart moves you. You will run out. You can't sit in church for donkey years and nobody became a Christian because of you. You can't do that. You can't be around and things are working and moving and you don't know how they are working. You don't have any single impute to whatever goes on in church. No. One day I stopped at the roadside there and was assisting those people controlling security, traffic. Some people say, please, sir, it's enough. We will do the work for security reasons. Just go. We will do the work. I said, no. I'm passing through the premises. I see paper. I pick. I'm picking. And somebody sees me. He came. He said, I should give him what I picked. He said, go and pick your own. Go and pick your own. Because you saw it and you passed. You saw it and you passed. Everybody will be rewarded for his speaking. You saw it and you passed. I should give you what I pick. No, pick your own. Are you hearing what I'm saying here today? It is not possible to love God and not serve God. Not possible. Not possible. Finally, if you love Him, you will give towards His cause. You will give towards His purpose.
John chapter 3 verse 16, God so loved the world, he gave.
Giving is proof of love. Psalm 132 verse 1 to 5. Samuel said, David said, Lord, remember David in all his afflictions, how he swore to the Lord and vowed to the mighty God of Jacob, I will not come to the tabernacle of my house. I won't go to my bed. I will not give sleep to my eyes or slumber to my eyelids until I find a place. I want to build God a church. I can't sleep. That is a man after God's heart.
God so loved the world, he gave. You so loved the Lord, what did you do? Hallelujah. He gave. He gave. Don't ever be too busy to give. While you are doing ushering, don't let your job be passing offering baskets for others. And behave like you didn't remember that you had to put your own inside. Choir, when you are on the microphone and it's offering time, you can return back and give your own. But you didn't say, God so loved the world, he sang. You know, because there are people who do all manner of things as if God is not watching. Offering time, he wants to go to toilet until it is. He's too pressed. Let him go and ease himself. When the offering is over, he comes back. Now, 1 billion you can give will do God nothing. If anybody stops to give, only you will be the only one who realizes you didn't give. It's impossible for God to feel the absence of what is given. But it is not possible to love and not give. There are times, I tell my wife, I said, there are times I feel like putting myself inside the offering basket. One woman said he wants to give a little child as to God. And just want to drop the chair. I say, no, please. This will be a major liability now. God. Go and look for God. Go and take care of the child. Grow the child and breastfeed and do everything. When the child grows up, the way to give him is hand him over to God. Let him do the work of the Lord. No, that is how to do that one. Somebody blessed here, say amen. Amen.
Lift your right hand and say, Father, I confirm my love to you tonight.
If you love God, you will love his word. If you love God, you will obey his word. If you love God, you will obey, you will love his person, his company. If you love God, you will love his house. If you love God, you will love his children. If you love God, you will love his work. If you love God, you will give towards his cause. Finally, what is the profit of loving God? Profit of loving God. John chapter 14, verse 23. John 14, 23. He said, Jesus answered and said unto him, if any man love me, he will keep my words. And my Father will love him. And we will come to him and make our house with him. If you love me, we will live with you. Number one is called divine habitation. God lives with those who love because God is love. It is not possible to see a genuine lover of God and not feel the presence. God lives with those who love. There is this palpable, tangible, feelable presence of God you feel around people who love God. That presence is able to divide the Red Sea. That presence is able to guarantee their safety. For though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. For thou art with me. Divine habitation. Number two is divine revelation. Light and insight. In 1 Corinthians chapter 2 and in verse 9, he said, behold, but as it is written, eye has not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for them that love him.
God, but God has revealed them to us by his Spirit. For the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God. Lovers of God, they have access to deep things. You see, you show your secrets to those who are intimate with you. Intimacy is the doorway to secrets. So it shows you things you don't, others can't see. When you open the Bible, you see what others can't see. You get light, you get insight, you get revelation that others can't have. Divine revelation. Number three is divine provision. Eyes have not seen, ears have not heard, neither has it entered the heart of the man. Things God has provided for them that love him. Things he has prepared, he has provided. If you are a lover of God, what God has in store for you is unbelievable, unfathomable, incomprehensible, incredible, incredulous. Incredible, I don't believe. Incredulous, I can't believe. It's not easily believable. Eyes have not seen. You have access to divine inheritance, divine possession. That is why when you see God bless some people, before you wag your tongue, find out their heart for God. Find out their heart for God. I'm not standing here for anybody to say this pastor stands here because of money. It's an insult of the highest order. Great insult. Because, I mean, God knows and every devil knows what it has cost us to serve God, but it has paid more. Am I communicating? Just donate yourself to God. Let those who mock, mock on. The time will come where they will almost feel like dying because of where God will take you, because of what God will do with your life. Say the loudest, amen. Divine provision. Finally, it's divine protection. That is why we are here tonight. Preserved, or divine preservation. Preserved by love for God. Preserved by love for God. He said in Psalm 91, verse 14 and 15, where we read, because he has set his love upon me, therefore will I deliver him. I will set him on high because he has known my name. He shall call upon me because he loved me. I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him. I will honor him. With long life will I satisfy him. Show my salvation. If you love me, he's saying to you, I can't allow you to be killed before your time. Does that mean anything to you? All right, let this one mean something to you. Isaiah chapter 43, verse 3 to 4. Isaiah 43, verse 3 to 4. He said, for I am the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel, thy Savior. I gave Egypt for your ransom, Ethiopia and Seba for thee. Since you were precious in my sight, thou hast been honorable. And I have loved thee, therefore will I give men for thee and people to keep you alive. People for your life. Next verse. Fear not, for I am with you. I will bring your seed from the east and gather the balance from the west. What is the meaning of that? You are precious in my sight. You responded to my love, and I have loved you back. And because you have, I have loved you back, anybody looking for you is looking for death. It's on a suicide mission. It's on a suicide mission. It's on a suicide mission. In Deuteronomy chapter 33 and in verse 4, talking about Benjamin, he said, the beloved, Verse 12. The beloved of the Lord shall dwell. And of Benjamin he said, the beloved of the Lord shall dwell in safety by him. The Lord shall cover him all the day long. And he shall dwell between his shoulders. I will put you on my chest. I'm the mighty breasted one. Let me hide you in my chest. El Shaddai. Hide you in my chest. And let me see who will look for you there. Because you are the beloved of the Lord. Stand up on your feet. Welcome to Midweek Convention. You are the beloved of the Lord. And he's saying, I place you on my chest. Let me look at who will pluck you from there. You won't die before your time. You won't die before your time. But please, go and love God. You don't lose loving him. Let people say you are mad. Love God. Finish yourself on God. Dash yourself to him. You don't lose. Cut down the time you are wasting on things that don't profit you. Cut down on the time, on the resources you are wasting on things that don't profit you. Let God be first and first indeed. One day, about 20 years ago, they brought me a shoe and they said that shoe was 7,000 at that time. And that 7,000 then was big money. Because my last salary, I think as a medical doctor, was 2,400, right? 7,000, and that was close to when we stepped into ministry. I said, the shoe is 7,000. Does it have tires? It has tires? I can't buy this shoe for 7,000. But the same week, there was a book fair, Christian book fair. I went to the book fair. I bought this Bible on cassette. I bought this, I bought this, I bought this, I bought this. At the same spot, 50,000. I couldn't buy shoe to put on my leg for 7,000. But I could buy spiritual food for 50,000. And God saw it. And God said, you will never need to make shoe a prayer point. I push shoe out like water. The way shoes come, as if they want me to sell shoes. As if they want to turn me into a seller of shoe. At times, designer in packs, 10, 20, arrived. What will I do? You see, and God saw it. One day, before I returned back home, my wife has given out all my suits. She went for a program and gave out all the our cloth. Eh? Plus her own. I said, what happened? He said they preach and they talk about giving. And you gave in my absence? He said the preaching was very touching. If you gave your own, I can understand. I am not around. But that also, I have to appreciate her for giving like that in my absence. Because it's righteously implicated. During the last convention, I think every single pastor that I saw at that time got a suit as a mantle. Those suits shouldn't be less than up to 200 or 250 or 260. Just, this is your own mantle. This is your own mantle. This is your... What is wearing now? This one, he's wearing his own now. With monkey, with the jacket inside. 257. Are you following what I'm saying here today? Plus wives, push it all out. As you push them out, they return back like fire. You understand what I'm talking about? Everybody has caught you with your mantle. People may say it is, you are foolish, you are stupid, you are wasting your life, you are wasting your time. Go ahead. At the end of the day, the result of the waste will show. I'm sorry for preaching very long tonight, but this is the first midweek service and the foundation has to be laid. Now we shall take the communion. It is a communion of fresh passion for God. A communion of fresh fire, fresh love, fresh affection for God. Before we step in there, lift your hands and appreciate God for this moment. Appreciate God for this moment. Honor Him, adore Him, worship Him. Father, we give you the praise. Go ahead. We give you the adoration, we give you the worship, we give you the supremacy. Thank you, Master. Thank you, Master. Thank you, Master. In Jesus' precious name, lift your hands and say after me and say, Father, I come before you today. In the name of Jesus, I come before you today. In the name of Jesus, to surrender myself to your love. Father, deliver me from those things that fill my talk, that take my time, that consume my resources, that occupy my thought, that inconvenience my life. Apart from you, deliver me, Lord. I receive the grace to love your word, to obey your word. I receive the grace to love your presence, the place of prayer, to love your company. I receive the grace to love your house, to love your house. I receive the grace to love your children. I refuse to walk in bitterness, to walk in unforgiveness. I receive the grace to love your children. I receive the grace to love your work, the work of soul winning, the work of God in the house. I receive the grace to love your work. I receive the grace to be a giver towards your work. And today, I receive the benefits of your love, of loving you. I receive your presence to live in your house, to live with you, for you to live with me. I receive supernatural insight, eyesight, revelation. I receive supernatural supplies, supernatural provision. I receive divine preservation, divine preservation. I receive in the name of Jesus. Open your mouth and pray. Father, we give you the praise. 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 Father, we give you the praise. We give you the honor. We give you the adoration. In Jesus' precious name. I want to give two calls. The first call, I'll invite the people to come out. The second call, because I perceive there will be many people, I'll ask you to remain on your seat. But the first call is a call for those who said, Pastor, I want to make my ways right with Jesus. I want to be forgiven of my sins. I want today to mark a new day for me. I want to go forward ever
backward never. Pick your Bibles. Pick your bags. Anywhere you are in this crowd, you have heard the message this first Wednesday of 2020. You want to make it right with Jesus. Carry your Bibles and don't be the last to come. You want to be born again. You want to be set free from negative lifestyles. You want addictions broken. Indian hemp, tobacco, alcoholism, drunkenness, gambling, any form of lifestyle you don't like. You want to even draw closer to God. Quickly pick your Bibles and your bags, and I give you the count of seven as you come forward. Lord, I give you my heart. I give you my soul. One.
Lord, I give you my heart.
Two.
I give you my soul.
Don't remain at your seat. Quickly come forward.
I live for you alone. Every step that I
Three.
Take. Every moment I'm with.
And four.
Have your
Five.
Way.
Lord, Everybody sing.
Lord, I give,
I give you my heart.
I give you my soul.
Seven. I'll give you another count.
Live for you.
Okay.
Alone.
One.
Every step that I take.
Two.
Every moment I wake.
Three.
Have your
Four.
Way. Lord, I
Five.
Give you my heart.
Six.
Give you my soul.
And seven.
For you, Lord, I give
oh,
Lord.
For you, oh, Lord. Every moment I'm away. Say, Lord Jesus. Say after me, say, Lord Jesus, I come before you today to surrender my life to you. Forgive me my sins. Today, I have decided to follow you, Jesus. No turning back. From today, forward ever, backward never. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' precious name. Amen. I pray for you today. I declare the hold of the enemy broken right now in the name of Jesus. The grace to live for God is released upon you now in Jesus' precious name.